Right, guys, so no cold opening for this special episode with the Black Rifle Model Works group. We recorded this episode at the beginning of the month. It was recorded using StreamYard to coincide with the Black Rifle Model Works group's YouTube channel. So we recorded on StreamYard, which is a totally different service than we use. It was recorded as one track, so I can't really edit out the bantering or the over-talking or the artifacts that happened within the recording. But I wanted to share this. It's a great recording and it's a lot of fun. Rob Adams and Frankie Donati were in the same room during the recording and sharing the same mic, so a lot of their audio wasn't picked up properly, but it is there. But we still wanted to release this to everybody because it was a lot of fun. So we hope you enjoy it, and no outtakes at the end because it's all integrated in the show, so we hope you like it. Right, Frankie?
Absolutely. Put on your seatbelts for this international roller coaster ride.
Hope you enjoy it. All right, guys, welcome to the Model Insanity Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Riv. I'm with my co-host, Mr. Justin Ryan.
Hey, everybody.
Mr. Steve Santucci.
Good day.
Mr. Rob Adams.
Yo, yo.
And Mr. Frank Donati.
Hey-o.
We have a special episode. This is a really special episode because we are simulcasting with the Black Rifle Model Works group over in UK, England. Because we're simulcasting, this recording might be slightly different than our others because we're recording on a single track as opposed to multiple tracks. So unfortunately, I might not be able to edit Justin Ryan's ums and uhs and stuttering as much as I can. But we have Luke Carswell here. Mr. Luke Carswell.
Hello. Good to be here, Rob. Good to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. We have Mr. Adam Challenger.
Hello.
And Mr. Stuart Goodswin.
Hello.
All right. I got to kind of get used to the accents here because people say that I have a very thick accent, but you compared did. To you guys, I know I sound great.
You absolutely don't. You're absolutely right.
I just think we need to start this show out by first saying that if anybody listening to this podcast who's on the western side of the pond, which is the United States or Canada, I can't help you with translating Stuart because I don't understand Stuart when he talks sometimes. So I'm hoping we can, you know, people will understand the conversations. Now, I'm only kidding now. So I'm really excited about this in all seriousness. It's going to be a good time. I've been looking forward to this. Me and Luke have talked about this for a while. So we're going to do a show. We're going to do a podcast as well as a video or a live stream that's going to be on the Black Rifle Model Works YouTube page. When the podcast drops, it's going to drop on their YouTube page, and we'll let everybody know when that happens. So first off, we're going to start off by just cleaning up some things first. When this airs, AMPS Nationals for us is going to be over. We're going to try to do a recording while at AMPS. I'm not sure how well it's going to go, but it might go well. It might go terribly. So there might be a live stream from AMPS Nationals, or there might not.
It might even go terribly well.
It might go terribly well.
Terribly well, yes.
But we are excited about going to AMPS, hanging out and seeing everybody. It's going to be a good time. I love those national shows. And that's going to segue into our discussions here. The first part of our discussions, and we're going to discuss the first part, is the differences in the shows here in the U.S. and in North America, as well as shows over in the U.K. I know that they do things slightly different there. And a lot of the things that they do, I'm not really sure of. I would normally let Steve Santucci take the lead on an interview like this or discussion, but Steve is totally off his game recently. So I am going to try to handle this while we start as he's flipping me off on screen. So, Luke, I know that you guys recently just had your local show, and we'll get into local shows. But I'm really interested in, like, the bigger shows, like the Monson show, right, and some of the other shows. So just give me an overview or give me kind of like a picture of what it's like to go to one of those shows. Because from what I see, it's amazing. It's massive. The vending alone is like so like crazy. So just give the listeners and the rest of the guys in our group a view of how it is at that Monson show.
I mean, I think the key difference between the UK, Europe, and North America, the key difference with any show, and certainly the bigger shows, is it's not focused around the contest. That's a key difference. So, for example, Scale Model World, which is arguably the biggest show in Europe for the amount of people attending, the amount of models that are entered in the contest, the amount of clubs that are there, traders, etc., etc., etc. But the contest is big. It is big. You know, I think last year it was something like...
It was 1,300.
Someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was in the region of 1,600, 1,700 entries.
Yeah.
But that's not the primary focus of the show. You've got every IPMS club in the whole of the UK go to that show and they display. So here in the UK, if you're an IPMS club, what you do every year is you do what they call a return. So that's where you name like your secretary, your accounts person, your events person, whatever it may be, and you give a return on the numbers. How many paying members, IPMS UK members you've got in your club. Now, I'm sure people will be pissed off. We are the biggest IPMS branch in the UK. And the way that's worked out is how many members have we got that are full paying members of IPMS UK? We're the biggest, but we're online. However, we will still attend Telford and we'll still attend local shows. So when we complete the return, you request display space at Telford, which is free here. So every club doesn't have to pay for that. If you want additional space, then you have to pay like a nominal fee. But it's pennies. It's not expensive.
So I got Telford and Mawson mixed up. Telford is in England, right? The Mawson show is like in Hungary.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I got the shows mixed up. Right, Telford.
Yeah. So that's how it works. So pretty much every IPMS branch in the UK will display at Telford over that 2 days. The contest is there and it's big and it is quite prestigious. You know, if you win a gold at Telford, like you're doing pretty good because we're so close to Europe. So there's a whole hall at the convention centre at Telford that's all like European IPMS clubs. So you'll have like IPMS Sweden are there, IPMS Hungary are there, IPMS Germany, IPMS Israel go every year, you know, so there's an international feel to it. The contest is prestigious because some of the best modelers in Europe are putting stuff on that table, but that's not the focus. It's all about showcasing the clubs. And quite often we say every year, you'll see better stuff on the club tables than you'll see in the contest room. Because a lot of these people just don't, they're not interested in the contest. They're there with their club and they're displaying. And the benefit of that is generally the person that's built it is stood there. So you can have a conversation with that individual.
Right.
And there's no smoke and mirrors at our shows. People are very, very, you're always going to get the odd one, but people are very open to share how they did a certain thing, techniques, what paints they use, whatever it may be. And a club that comes to mind is Four Corners, which is Spud Murphy's club.
Yeah.
Now, no one can deny the display that they put on every year.
No, I've seen it. That's amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic.
There's nothing on there that's not worthy of Best in Show. Nothing. And that's just on their club table.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what they will do is you can stand there, and we have done for an hour and a half, discussing how they've done it, and they're so open to share. So for us, Telford is more of a social event, and it's got that feel about it. I think, unfortunately, I've never been to a show in the US, so I only know what I see floating around social media.
Right.
We've got a lot of American members. We've got a lot of Canadian members. So there's conversations that take place. But I think the danger is if a show is so focused on the contest, whether it be AMPS, IPMS, whoever, if it's so focused on the contest, people start to get pissed off.
Oh, all the time.
For no reason. You know, it's any given Sunday. If the judges like what you've done, you're going to win something. If they don't, you don't win anything. Who cares?
Right.
Who cares? We don't in the UK, but in the States, it seems like a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to, for me as a modeler, I've kind of segued or shifted to that display only type at the shows. I rather have a display And at this year's AMPS, I'm going to have like 10 models there. Some will be painted, some not. People will expect to see naked models from me. I'll have my display, and I'll hang out by my display while I'm there as much as I can. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on at the show. And people will ask. We'll talk about the models. I love that. See, the problem with a lot of these shows in the United States, in my opinion, and this might piss people off, but I don't care, it's too ultra-competitive.
Yes.
People want to go to shows. They want recognition, and they want to be given something for whatever they put on the table. Mm-hmm. And these people go to shows. They go with expectations, and 9 times out of 10, they're disappointed. If they don't want a bronze, they want a silver. If they don't want a silver, they want a gold. If they don't want a gold, they want a best of. And when they go with those types of expectations, they're always leaving disappointed. I see it all the time, especially at AMPS. And that's one of the things that I appreciate the most about that show, Telford. And I mixed it up between the two, but they're two huge shows, but the Telford show, and you talked about Spud and those guys. Pete Usher's in that group too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those guys. I know that they do an amazing spread.
Yeah.
That's what the hobby is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
You put yourself out there. You put your display. You're going as a group, and you're not worrying about winning that. Now, I'm not saying these guys don't go to other shows and put stuff in their shows, but this specific show, having a display as a group, hanging out and being social and talking about the hobby. Yeah. That's what it's all about, in my opinion. And I think that's fantastic.
Do you think, though, and this is controversial, do you think culturally, but forget the hobby for a second, but culturally, so I've worked with the American military a lot over the years. Culturally, Americans seem to be quite competitive by nature.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that has manifested itself into the hobby, maybe. So now it is competitive because that's just whereas in the UK, like yesterday, for example, we put a few bits in the contest yesterday and placed. But in the UK, it's almost like you walk up, once they announce your name to give you the reward away, you walk up with your head down. Do you know what I mean? Hold on. It's like you're embarrassed to receive anything. But that's just a British thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Culturally, we're a little bit different in that way. We don't holler and shout, you know, in the same way. And maybe that's manifested itself into the hobby that now at the American shows in particular, it is very competitive. But that's just America. It's a competitive nation.
It's ultra competitive and kills me to agree with you. Maybe it's the Canucks up there that are the problem and it's creeping down into the United States. But no, it is ultra competitive.
I don't think so, buddy.
And the thing is so just to keep everybody in the loop here, because I want everybody to have to get involved in this discussion. Steve Santucci, do you agree with me when I say that trying to do a show like Telford here in the United States would probably never work? Because I don't think people, A, want to drive X amount of miles, because everything's far away here. It's not like where you guys are. I'm not saying England, where you guys are.
No, it's true.
It's like, you know, it's like for us to go now to AMP South Bend for this AMP show is 10 hours for me. Are people going to travel to a show where they're not going to get any medal or recognition? I don't know. I don't think people are going to do it here, Tooch. Do you agree?
I don't know, because has anything ever like that been tempted? It's what's in it for me. Some go for the vending room. Mm-hmm. Some go for the fellowship. If you do it as a convention and then have an area set aside for show and tell, and you draw in vendors at corporate level, because that's the one thing like AMPS is missing, and even IPMS, except for IPMS Nationals here in the States, is we don't have a big, deep, like corporate. I mean, we have the mom and pops, you know, the single owner showing up, but we don't have that feeling. Like, you know, I'm jealous of what goes on in Europe and even in Asia, because you have such a strong community. And here, you're right. It's indicative in the American culture since our birth as a nation almost 250 years ago, not to rub it in. But
let you have it.
Yeah. Okay. If that makes you sleep at night. Rob, I'm with you. I'm to the point to where I debated entering in the contest this past weekend, and I just wanted to go to hang out and just look at great models and talk to people. And whenever I put weird stuff on the table, people are like, that's really cool. And I tell them what inspires me. And like you, that's where the fun comes in. That's where you're sharing knowledge and you're inspiring other people. And there were some people who follow us on the podcast in the build rooms who were saying they came to see some great stuff. They weren't there to compete. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be inspired. So I think if you built it up that way and people knew what they were getting into, it might work. But you won't know until you try it. It might be a rough go at first, but who knows?
I think the difference is, and you're absolutely right, geographically,
yeah,
like the States is vast. It's huge. You know, like, so I traveled down to the south of the UK. So I live like in the middle, if you like. Traveled down to the south where Adam lives. So I traveled down Friday afternoon, stayed over at Adam's house Friday evening, drank way too much wine. And then Saturday morning, we go to the show. I pack the car at the end and drive home. But it's like a 3.5 hour drive. It's not 10 hours.
Right.
You know?
Like, well, I'm in the States,
they're getting on planes to go to shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they haven't even left the US. But they're right. That far away, they have to fly there. He'll drive for like 3 days to avoid getting on a plane.
Is that Rob?
I got on a fucking plane and I'm not even in the US yet. If I was to drive from my place to Frank's, it would be 27 hours.
Wow.
I'm not even on the other side of the country. We're almost there.
It takes me and Luke 27 minutes to get to Telford. We live just 27 minutes.
No, but Luke, I told you, like, if you're in London, you're like, oh, I want to have lunch in Paris. You can just jump on the train.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I know it's a few hours, but like I said, to get to even, like, if I wanted to drive to Florida, I live on the East Coast of the United States. I'm on Long Island, New York, by New York City. If I want to go to Florida and I don't fly, so I want to drive. It's taking me 24 hours to drive to Florida.
Yeah.
You got to exceed the speed limit just a little bit. I think it's like a 14-hour drive from Philly. So, and you're not 10 hours from Philly.
No. Not, you're talking about like the border of Florida. I'm talking about if you want to go to Orlando or Miami. Yeah. It's like 24 hours. It's like to drive the state of Florida. It's like 7-8 hours.
To get driving to Miami, yeah. Orlando, no.
Well, dude, okay. You're talking about getting to the Georgia border. I'm talking about driving into the heart of Florida. It's taking
Atlanta 18 hours.
I'm sorry. I'm off by 4 hours. You know, we have a fucking tracker here.
That's all your bathroom breaks from all your energy drinks.
See what I got to deal with?
For us, with Telford, the European clubs and the European traders, more importantly sometimes, it's not a big deal for them to travel to Telford. Whereas in the US, even for your nationals, whether it be AMPS or IPMS, for vendors, like corporate vendors that you were saying, Steve, like that's a big deal for them to travel to that show. And is it financially worth them doing it?
Then you also have to take into account all of the IPMS shows that are in the States, you know, like, yeah, I go, one I go to every year is a 2.5 hour drive for me. It's PennCon in Carlisle, Gettysburg area. You know, I can't expect to see AK or Tamiya or anybody at that show because that's a small show, one of hundreds of small shows.
Right. And like the Telford show or like the Mawson show, like Mini Art has their table and the AK's got their table and Tamar is there. And
Hey, Mini Art's a sponsor for the Amps Nats I seen today.
So, but you guys talk about this. So, if I may, in God's country, after we stopped the American invasion of 1812 and kicked their ass, and then we threw off the yoke of British oppression in 1867, we decided to take the moderate route. So, our problem is we have the vastness, right? This country we're the second largest country. Most of our population lives along the southern border, along the U.S.
We only have the Americans.
Yeah, we only have about 14 to 18 shows nationwide. There's not a lot. And for us, like, I'm in London. And by the way, I can be in Paris in 58 minutes because Paris, Ontario is just down the road from London. We have a third of our country is basically within about 6-7 hours of Toronto. So we have a high concentration. So we don't have a national show. I was with Ottawa IPMS and Telford was our sister club. And we used to have members that would travel back and forth. And there's even a Telford award between Ottawa and Telford chapters, right? The tree award that we've been doing for over 20 years now. We don't have a national. We have one club show, which is Heritage Con at the Hamilton Warplane Museum, which is about our biggest show. And last year, the number was 1,300 entries. But we're a mix. It is competitive. It is a competition, but our club, London IPMS, we were at Heritage Con. The Army built, like the Figure Club was there. There was an automotive club. I think the Kingston guys were there. So we do have clubs that will come and travel. We have the same challenge. Very few of the corporate sponsors will ever show up to the point when we in our had our London show last year. I actually solicited corporate sponsorships within the community to support our show. So we had a trucking company. So they supported, you know, a car award, and we got a few industries to help support our show. London, Ontario, I think we had a close to 650 models at our show, and it was pretty modest. It was a one-day show. Mm-hmm. But here, the question comes to, will people travel just to go to the convention? I think more so up here than down south. We've seen it. We have more people coming than we have competitors. We get lots of vendors. Vendors are always great, and people have the same simple reasons. Some are there for competition, and you can tell who they are because they're the ones with the flop sweats. We have those who like to go shopping, right? I'm half Dutch. I'm cheap, so anything on a discount is good for me. And then the social aspect of it, because we are so widely spread apart, right? Rob and I have been friends online for almost 5 years now. This is our first time being together, right? We got to do our little adventure this week in Toronto. We're getting to go to AMPS to meet with Justin, Rob, and Steve for the first time, which is going to be great. But our shows kind of straddle the two. It is competitive, but we don't have the contract. IPMS Canada is 654 members. You know, my club in London is one of the largest chapters, and we have 59 members as of yesterday. Extremely diverse. We don't have an airplane club, but we have an everything club. On any given monthly meeting, right, we have something from every discipline within the hobby, which is what I love about being in this part. So,
absolutely.
You know, geography always plays a role. In the States, I cannot believe how many shows. When Rob goes at the end of an episode, well, we got the Region 7 show and Region 2 show. We got Freezing Cold Con. We got My Nipples Are Hard Con. We got
and it's always too late to ever make it. The show comes on and then the show's passed already.
Yeah, it's incestuous down there. Like, that breeds the competition. You've got these people that just, that's all they breathe and live for. And we see the same models at different shows. You know, I find up here in Canada, at least a lot of our shows, and I'm speaking from sort of the central Canadian, so Ontario, the big part. Rob goes to the shows out west, and culturally, they are somewhat different than we are here, as he's figured out this week.
Yeah, there's all kinds of fucked up shit over.
I'm pretty fucked up there. I'll admit it. And Rob will admit I'm pretty fucked up too. So, but I think the shows over in the West are very similar, right? And,
yeah.
You know, the one thing, by the way, that you guys have that I wish we had more of, and in my show, we're really, really going to try to push our SIGs. We don't see SIGs. And I think SIGs are brilliant, right? I could see this guy being in the Merkava SIG without fail. I love the idea of SIGs. And when I saw how much you guys have down there, and I've talked to people yourself, Luke, and others in the UK about that. I think that's something that needs to come over here, and I think it'll breed a bit more camaraderie and that social aspect of the clubs, which is more important.
Jeff's trying to get that going at IPMS, too.
He's got 5,500 square feet only dedicated, just purely dedicated for SIGs.
Yeah. I mean, we have one that comes to mind here is we have a Tornado SIG.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are so knowledgeable about that aircraft. There's nothing they don't know. And that's what SIGs breed. They breed that knowledge base. So if you're building a Tornado, they have a Facebook group and that sort of stuff as well. You can join that group and say, I'm building this particular aircraft. What armament would it have? And within a couple of hours, like, you'll know exactly. And they'll even post you links to where you can purchase. Like, the knowledge is just phenomenal. And that's what SIGs breed. Whatever subject it may be, they just breed it. Last year at Telford, I was chatting to the guys from the Leopard SIG because I wanted to build a Ukrainian Leopard. What's the best kit as a base kit? And then what do I need to put on it to make it like they're using in the Ukraine currently? And they just know it. They just read it off, you know, the knowledge. And that's what SIGs are. They're a knowledge base. It's so important.
I'm part of an Apache group.
Yeah, I'm part of the same group, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, some of these guys, I'm just like, really? You know?
Yeah.
that one guy, what is his name? Len P.I. or whatever?
Oh, he's the guy that's basically redesigning the whole kit.
Fucking, yeah, he's pretty much changed out every part on it.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. He's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's had some professional involvement with that airframe at some point, but there's nothing he doesn't know about an Apache. You know?
See, but I respect, But I love that people are willing to have a discussions about that stuff, share their knowledge about it, because that's how, like you talked about, like how people at Telford will be by their displays and have a discussion about whatever you might ask them.
Yeah.
And I can only speak for myself. Like if I do certain things and people want to know, I'll always share what I do. There's no secrets in this hobby. It's supposed to be supposed to encourage people to try something new, improve, and get to the best that they can be. You know, you don't want you can only be as good as you can, what your potential is, right? Like I always use the 100 mile an hour fastball analogy. Like you can't teach somebody to throw 100 miles an hour, but you can teach someone to throw better. And I think in this hobby, especially at those shows or like these SIG groups or whatnot, people who are knowledgeable about subjects, or people just coming in not knowing about them, learning about it, and maybe they'll become an expert eventually too, because you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, you look how well Rob Adams has become as a modeler. He was terrible when he first started. I took him under my wing and I taught him a lot of stuff. And look at him. He's actually making a competent model right now.
Look how modest this guy is.
But thanks, Rob. I couldn't have done it without you.
No. Must be doing something right. You just won your own banner, Rob.
Right. Exactly. This guy gives himself the banner again in his own group, the Model Makers Union.
Number one. So, it's done democratically. So he goes to the Facebook group and then he goes, "Oh, this fucker's got more than me." Delete.
Right. This fucker, you get out of here. Delete. Exactly.
You know what? The only reason I took that today, because I usually do pass it on to the next guy. Nobody keeps track of the votes except for me, so it doesn't matter.
I think Rob's got his finger on the pulse there. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
But I did it because I knew it would give Riff something to talk about today. So.
Well, you didn't tag me in there because you knew I would make a comment about it. Because when you run a Facebook group, and this is going to segue into this other thing really quick, but I still want to talk about shows. But you guys got your Black Rifle Model Works page. We have the Insanity page now. Rob's got his Union page, whatnot. In all seriousness, when we started the Insanity podcast and we decided to have an offshoot of the old group, the first person that helped me out was Rob Adams. And he knows I love him and I break his chops. And when we started that group, the whole idea was I wanted to have a Facebook group for people to socialize and have a good time.
Yeah.
And have contests and get people involved. But I love Rob. Rob has a Union page. He's the only admin there. It's like, I'm the only one who's the admin. No one else is allowed to be the admin. He's got 9,000 members. He runs these contests that have like prizes. And he fucking enters the freaking contest. I was like, Rob, it's your group. You have a contest for your members, and you're participating
again. Democracy.
I understand, but you're supposed to remove yourself. You know what? I'm gonna run a contest for the full interior Macabre kit before we leave for Amps. But I bought you. I'm only kidding. No, but again, to go back to what we were talking about with the shows, though. Now the Monson show is what, in Hungary?
Yeah. Hungary.
Now that's similar to Telford, though. Isn't that like a club based show? Yeah, same thing. Do you guys go to that or have you ever been?
I've never been, but I will one day.
And you know, Stuart, you Adam, you guys, you've never been to that show?
No, we've never been. But we've talked about it and we're planning on doing a few European shows over the next coming years. So.
How long of a journey would it be for you guys?
It's Hungary, right?
Hungary would probably be about
45 minutes. Hour,
but, yeah, 2 hours on a plane.
How many?
2 hours.
2 hours on a plane?
Oh, that's 2.5, maybe.
That's
now, right. Now you would, if you were to go to that show, it's the same thing where you would have like a club table for your Black Rifle Model Works Club.
I mean, if we were going to do that, then what we would do, we'd just drive.
Yeah, logistically, you wouldn't be able to get models on planes without getting that
stuff. But, we'd just drive, and it'd take probably less time than it takes you to get to Florida.
But you would be. But now this is where my ignorance is, because we're here in the United States, so we are sheltered from the rest of the world. You have no problems driving through countries? Is there checkpoints or anything that they check IDs or anything? You just drive?
There is now, because obviously we had the whole Brexit thing. Right. So the UK broke away from Europe. Before that, there was no borders. So if you resided in a European country, you could just cross borders, no problems. Now, it's as simple as showing your passport.
Okay.
You know, that's all it is at the border. There's no...
From England, from you guys. But if you live like in France, you could just drive to Germany.
Yeah, so if you were in Belgium, France, no issue. You could drive all across Europe, no problem at all.
That's awesome. That's I think that's amazing because there's so much diversity and so much stuff, especially in the hobby. Like we talk about different aspects of the hobby, and like we're, again, I say we're sheltered here in the United States, but like the different abilities of different models throughout Europe. Like you got the British models, like you talk about Spud and Pete Usher and those guys yourselves, and then you got someone like, you know, the guys in Spain, the Spanish models, mm-hmm. like Abilio and all those guys. These guys, Jose Brito and all these guys. Yeah. These guys are amazing modelers. Yeah. It's great because the difference between the techniques and the way the modeling is done. Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, you live in Virginia. You have a great that's the Virginia technique. No, and with you guys, like Spain's got that technique and whatever. I think it's awesome. Really?
Hey, Rob, yeah. when we first started talking, you were talking about accents. It's the same thing with model building. It's model building accents.
Yeah.
We're in the United States or in Europe?
No. Just like you're saying now, it's an accent. Their right. style is the accent of the model building.
Yeah. And I think the benefit for us, because of where we are in the world, certainly at Telford, because lots of European clubs come to Telford, and lots of European modelers come to Telford. Plasma was there last year because it's not far. It's quite easy geographically. So we get to see all these different styles, all these different methods in the flesh. We can see the model.
So did you get to see Plasma's model?
You guys, generally, you've only seen it on the internet.
Right.
Because it's too far for these people to bring their Sherman. You know, they just won't do it. Whereas here, we're really lucky. Or we can drive to their show. Or fly to their show, or whatever.
Adams, you wanted to say, I know you love Plasma, so here you go.
I'm a fanboy. Did you get to see his models?
No,
he didn't bring anything with him.
Oh, no. Motherfucker.
No, he was just walking around trying to stay as incognito as possible, really.
Right.
That's a difficult thing to do because everyone knows who he is.
Yeah. Like Carmen San Diego.
Maybe he needs to put on a Where's Waldo hat.
he's a great example. Plasma is a great example of a guy who's just got pure skill, and he's able to do anything from a 172nd scale armor piece to a 172nd scale plane to a whatever ship to a. That guy does it all, and he does it all amazingly well. But if you look at his progression, he does Warhammer now too.
He put gold leaf on a Warhammer figure.
Yeah, he does.
You know, if you look at older Plasma videos into now, he's definitely progressed. His skill has progressed exponentially because not saying he wasn't great then, but if you look at videos now compared to when he first started, maybe it's just the video.
His subjects also changed quite a bit. He was doing a lot of automotive and shit back in the day, bikes, cars.
I think a lot of it, social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it may be. If you know that you're going to show that model on whatever platform it may be, certainly for me, I'm probably try a bit harder. I'll probably try and achieve a better finish than I would if I was just putting it on the shelf behind me. Does that make sense? Because ultimately, although on our group, the same as other groups, there's no critique, there's no judging as such, but pound to a pinch of shit. As soon as you put something on the internet, someone's going to critique it, whether they're doing that in their own head or they're showing their friends or whatever it may be. So you do try a bit harder. Correct. And I think that naturally will develop your skill.
It will. And I'm not happy with something, Luke, that you're doing the Edelweiss from Zugimura.
Oh, I know,
But I will say this, though. You did reach out to me, and you're like, you thought I didn't have it. And you're like, you have the kit? Someone has it for auction. I'm like, no, I do have it. Cliff Herring from Texas wound up getting it for me, sending it my way. It's John Bonanni who doesn't have it. And I was like, maybe I should get it and like dangle it out and say, well, I got another one. But we didn't do that. But I know you're building the Edelweiss right now. I don't know if I can bring myself to start cutting that out of the sprues because it's so hard to find.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy that sent it to me, so he's a subscriber of the channel. He doesn't do Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. So he's quite anonymous, really. He's not known on social media, but he watches the channel. So he got in touch with me and said, I've got this. You mentioned it on one of your live streams. I'll send it to you. I was like, no. It's too expensive. It's too rare. You can't just send it to me. He said, well, I'll make you a deal. I'll send it to you if you build it and then film it as you build it.
All right, well, there you go. I know you got the figures and the details.
All of it. All of the market that we're
It's got to be nice being Luke Caswell, right? It's nice. I don't get shit. I get my balls busted by everybody. They don't send me anything. You get
I don't get shit. Oh, how many tracks did I get in the mail this time? But
no,
Mini Arts sent to me now.
You're not supposed to talk about that, Frank. I got to keep the illusion going.
The only thing I get sent is this fucking.
You know, I got nobody on my side.
I got a 200-pound eating machine in my house for fuck's sake.
Sorry,
my garage smells like a grow up, and the fridge is empty.
Frankie, can you do me a favor, too, just so we can take a pause here? Frank, do me a favor. Make sure to clean the toilets and your bed sheets when this guy leaves your house.
Two toilets. First day, two toilets.
I know, I heard. You hear about this, Adam? Adam's quiet. Let's do it. We're going to get him to laugh. No. So Rob Adams is currently staying at Frank's house because can we tell him that you were filming a show? We can talk about that, right? We can't talk about the details of the show, but we can talk that you did a show.
Say that we filmed a show.
Yes. We did it. We filmed a competitive show.
Listen, you might have. Oh, so if I breach the contract, you got to give back that $200. So Rob and Frank were filming a show.
You can't unblow the producers.
Right. The History Channel, whatever it was, the Canadian History Channel. It was a model making show, which is really freaking cool, actually, that they got asked to do this. Now, Frank Donati used his political clout as the IPMS Canada president to get on the show, but they did the show. So Rob Adams is currently staying at Frank's now because they just did the show, and then they're going to be traveling to Amps. But Rob Adams has been staying there for the last couple of days. You've been there 2 days, and you stopped the toilet up 2 times already.
Oh, I did that on the first day.
You stopped the toilet up twice.
Why do you think Frank started feeding him nuns farts?
This is what we got to deal with.
When you're in the trenches, you use any tool you can dig up
there. Hopefully I can clip this out as an outtake, but it's the truth, though. So Rob Adams blew up Frankie Donati's bathroom twice in that house. If I was your wife, I'd be pissed.
In his defense, Frank did not warn him that they have delicate plumbing.
She's making him her world-famous cheese-stuffed meatloaf. He can't wait. He's making
that just to get him to stop pooping.
It's like you're pulling a Steve. You're pulling a Steve Andriano. That's what you're pulling. No. You're pulling a Steve Andriano. I mean, I'm going to say this. This is a nice little segue to make these Brits laugh a little bit. One of my good friends, Steve Andriano, is a big. He's a model, a good model. He's big with amps. He lives about 10 minutes away from me. So we would get together on Fridays to hang out and build and go to the hobby shop or something. And every time he would come to my house, the minute he walked in my door, he would use my bathroom and blow my whole house up. And my wife would come home hours later and be like, what happened here? And one day I'm like, Steve, you live 10 minutes away. Can't you take the shit in your own house? You got to shit mine? You can't go in your bathroom. You got to come to my house, blow out my bathroom, and then my house stinks because you couldn't take a dump in your house.
You've got the best magazines.
So you know what he tells me? No. Well, that's true. But you know what he tells me? He goes, I can't go to the bathroom in my house because my wife gets mad at me. That I go to the bathroom. Are you going to do it here? So then I had my wife's like, he's not allowed to use the bathroom anymore. So I laid the law. I said, Steve, you have to go to the bathroom before you come to my house. If it's not number one, you're not using the toilet. So, I mean, it's like, I don't understand what happened. How this guy would come to my house from his, he lives 10 minutes away. Can't take a shit before you come. You know you got to go. He'll come to my house, you got to use the bathroom.
He knows that you've got the new Pert Plus to read while he's going.
Get the new Mentadent. We're moving.
Better reading material.
That's Kingpin.
Kingpin. But no, we're talking. Me and Justin do it. Hold on. Where did Rob go? Rob left?
He had to poop.
Are you serious? All right.
I'm not used to this. I'm used to smoking at will when we do this shit. So I got to go.
Yes, guys. So we all, I mean, just to segue though, the Amps Nationals is going to be a lot of fun. So what we're doing there is we're going to have our podcast table there. We have a nice tablecloth made, which is nice. We're going to try to record that we're going to have a dinner on Friday. There's like a meet and greet. Matt sets this up at the Nationals IPMS. It was crazy. So many people went. So we're going to be doing something there. And I'm also taking pictures for military model craft at the show. Yeah, we got the booth and people can come. Because, you know, Dave Grummet is a great guy. And I don't know if you're familiar with military model craft there.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, in digital format.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of stuff for them now. So he's a really great guy. I don't know if you've met Dave before at some of those shows. I know he makes it to those shows and stuff, but he's just an all-around great guy, and he's been great to me, so I can't complain. So I don't mind doing that at the show to take pictures in the booth, but it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the podcast table. I also do stuff at the show. I ramrod. That's what we call the guy that takes the models in when you bring it to make sure your paperwork is right before it goes in the pit. And then also, you know, between judging, you know, it's the weekend's going to be crazy. Steve Santucci's like, oh, you're going to be in bed by 9 o'clock because I'm tired, man. I'm working. These guys just want to go drink. I'm working at the show. Steve Santucci's going to be walking around lost like an old man. You'll see Steve. He like walks like very slow, and he just like, he'll just stare. And I'll go, Steve, you okay? Right? I had to do that yesterday. A couple of times I had to check in to make sure you were still with us. But, you know, but we're looking forward to Amps Nationals. Is always a good show. But listen, it's not a big show compared to some of these bigger shows.
Yeah.
I mean, IPMS Nationals, they'll get upwards to 3,000 models at those shows, mm-hmm. right? I mean, am I right? Am I giving that number wrong, Frank? Is it like 3,000?
Anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 within that range, yeah.
You know, and you're talking about everything from, you know, armor, aircraft, ships, cars, Gundams, whatnot. Amps Nationals, a good show is 750. So compared to IPMS, this is nothing.
That sounds actually smaller than PaxCon.
PaxCon had a lot of models. And
PaxCon had almost, I think, 950?
Right, and the Old Dominion show that was in Virginia had over almost 1,000.
Yeah.
But it's across all genres, though.
Right.
Unlike when we're also doing Amps Judging Way, that, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Adam, and Stuart and Luke. At Amps, what they do is, and we have an episode going to be dropping tomorrow, which is the 8th of April. We talked to John Chabot, who's the show chairperson. He used to be the president of Amps. What you do when you're judging at Amps is you take the model, it goes in front of four judges sitting at a table, and they judge it for 4 minutes, and they fill out a scorecard. It's all like what's there on the model. You're not supposed to interject subjectivity. It's supposed to be what's there, and you're not supposed to interpret the model it did, and you get a score. So it's about 4 or 5 minutes a model. Everybody's model gets looked at Amps. That's why it takes a while to judge.
Open up a fucking can of worms
here. No, let's talk. This is what we're here for.
Is that what you guys consider the open system?
That would be considered an open system, right? Gold, silver, bronze. Potentially every model that's at that show can win a gold. Potentially. Okay. Now, so there's skill levels too, though. Basic, intermediate, and advanced. My son's
yelling up there. So here...
Rob, it's all right. It's not as intrusive. It's I think you'll be all right.
It's an IPMS. So Telford, for example, that's an IPMS national show. So they use the IPMS judging system. But instead of first, second, third, they call it gold, silver, bronze. But there is only one gold, one silver.
Still one, two, three. They can call whatever they want.
It's that system. Whereas some of the local shows here, although they're IPMS shows, use an open system. So we have the best of both worlds almost.
Right.
In fact, Medway is an IPMS club in the south of England, quite a big club. They've been going for like 70 odd years. They're well established within IPMS. So when they host their show, they host it over 2 days, not one. And they host it at the Royal Engineers Museum. So last year, our stand was actually underneath a Harrier GR3. You can't get a better location.
That's awesome.
But they didn't have a competition running. So you didn't enter anything in a competition in any class. But what they did have is, unbeknownst to every club that was there, is over that 2 day period, they'd got judges that were going around the club tables, and they had certain categories. So 35th scale armor, 48 scale aircraft, well, you know, whatever category it may be, sci-fi, whatever. And they were picking models from club tables almost in secret that they believe were the best models at that show. And then on the Sunday afternoon, they came round to all the clubs and said, that model there's won best in armor, that model's there best in aircraft, that's best sci-fi, and that's how they did it. So no one knew that they were competing.
That's great, and I love that.
And it just worked.
Every model was in that show was in the competition.
Yeah,
that's
unbeknownst to the people.
Going back to, I guess, the cultural difference. So I'm sure you won't mind me saying, Adam won Best in Aircraft at that show.
Oh, Mr. Adam, nice. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nah, that's cool. You do good stuff, though, Adam. You really do. That's
I actually won Best Armor. However, the guy came up to me, the judge, and he said, that's one Best in Armor. It's the African Union T-55. Yeah. He said, that's one Best in Armor. He said, but closely following it, a really close second, if you like, is another guy from another club, but it's his first time ever displaying his models because he doesn't think he's good enough. And he's like this shy, retiring guy. I said, oh, fuck it, give it to him then.
Give it to him. Dude, I love you, man. I do the same thing.
But that's the cultural difference, right? Would that have happened in the US?
Well, I think we come from the same cloth. I don't think people would do that.
No, it would boil down to like a hot dog eating contest or something.
Yeah.
No, but I listen, that's fantastic.
That's not the focus of what we're there for.
You know what we're doing, and you saw me post today, and we did it at the show yesterday, and other places have been doing it a long time, is these challenge coins.
Yeah.
Right? So we have we've had these challenge coins made. Each group kind of has it. Actually, the Model Geeks had it at the show too. They got it made from the same company we had ours made. They're poker chips, but they're really high quality. They're engraved and they're colored. I don't know how they make them this fast, but they do. And we bought 225 of them to start. I got them for a good price. I got them for like 60 cents a chip. And we brought 10 of them to the show. Two chat a lot of five. I had the other five. I wound up giving two to people who hang out in our group to get them involved. And we chose, and so did Tooch. And we gave out 10 challenge coins at that show to pieces that we really thought were exceptional. And other places do this too here. I don't know if they do it in Europe.
We've done it as a club.
I think it's great. And you know, sometimes they do these shows. Like I know Andy from Andy's Hobby Headquarters, Andy Klein, had talked about they do a show in Arizona where it's all people's choice.
Yeah.
You come in, you have to be an entered modeler, but you get a sheet and then you choose what models you think is the best in whatever category. So there's no judges. So you come in, you get a form, you write that the categories are there, you walk around and you write down what you think is the best models or whatever, and they get submitted, and that's how they choose the winners, which is cool.
Yeah.
And someone had made, I don't know who it was, I'm not taking credit for it, but someone had mentioned something somewhere that wouldn't it be cool if there was a show, but like podcasters or YouTubers or whomever were there, people with challenge coins came in, and all it was distributions of challenge coins to models, not something that was given to by the show or two. So didn't someone say, like, if you come in with challenge coins, you kind of get a discount to come in or something? What did someone say?
I don't remember, but no, that bantered about.
And just to give out challenge, because I think that if you got a model and you walk over and you're like, wow, what is this? And someone left you a chip that said, we liked your build. I mean, that's pretty damn cool.
So the last 2 years at Telford, what we've done as a club, because we're a really new club, we're only 2 years old this summer. So the last 2 years at Telford, where we've been a club, an IPMS club, what we've done is we've gone around the show over the weekend and we've picked our favorite build from whatever genre, it doesn't matter.
From the tables, yeah.
Picked our favorite build, but a build that's not in the competition. So it's on a club table somewhere. Yeah. Then we've had a discussion, we take pictures of five or six, we had a discussion between ourselves and we settle on a favorite. And then what we've done is we've just gone up to that club table and handed a bag to the builder with like a mug, pen, stickers, t-shirt, you know, and all that stuff. Just say, you know what, for us, this was the best build of the show. And people like that.
I love it. Yeah.
Because on both occasions, they've been like, oh my God, I never expected that. So the whole challenge coin thing and appreciating people's builds.
That's the way it should be, I think. Yeah. We're never going to, just maybe to wrap up the show discussion, because we've been talking about an hour, but I think that there's no change going to happen in the States when it comes to, people are just ultra competitive here. I'm envious of what you guys have there. I know Frankie Donati, we've talked about this too, and Rob and Tooch and Justin, that I'm envious of the shows that you guys have in Europe, especially that Telford show, that Mawson show. It's freaking awesome, man.
I mean, it's just a real shame that you won't get on a fucking aircraft.
Do it, Justin. Don't get on a plane, Adam.
You would have an opening right.
Get on a plane.
I was offered to come to Scale Model Challenge, and I was like, I'm not coming to Eindhoven. I'm not getting on a plane. I'm not getting on a plane.
You know, like give him a glass of milk with some roofies in it or something.
I would.
I ain't getting on a plane, Hannibal.
I would have to be. You know what? It's not the flying, and I said this to someone yesterday.
It's a caution.
No. You know what it really is, and I really sat down and tried to think about because I've never been on a plane before, okay. So it's not like I know what it's like to fly in. I don't like it. Or I'm afraid. It's not necessarily the flying. It's the being in an enclosed space and not being able to go. Claustrophobia. And that's what I'm worried about. And I don't want to be on a plane. I'm going to get tased by an air marshal because I'm like freaking William Shatner in the Twilight Zone looking out the window screaming. You know?
You'd like, be more like John Lithgow.
Yeah, in the movie version. But I would, you know, I miss out on so much because I don't fly. It's but I would
shame.
Love to go.
Real shame.
I can tell you, on my way flight here, it's the first time I've ever shit in an airplane.
Oh, you mean you used the bathroom or you actually got scared?
No, I used the bathroom.
Tried to see if you could plug that one up too.
Rob, call it Boeing bombs.
It's boosted.
Rob,
I'm hoping it's just not landing on people down below. But
anyway. You see Joe Dirt, right? That ain't no meteor.
But I'll tell you what, it's fairly difficult, especially when you're in a bit of turbulence, to use the bathroom in a plane. It's like the smallest thing ever, dude.
Rob, you're not doing it right. Use that turbulence to shake the poop out of you. You don't need to push.
Didn't have any choice at that point.
Listen.
You're like, everybody fasten your seatbelts. I'm like, fuck, I'm in the shitter. There's no seatbelt on this thing.
I got a 2-inch grip on an 8-inch turd. What should I do?
Well, there was a story about there was a leak in the toilet system in one of a jet plane that was flying in the United States. And it
sprayed
froze
everybody.
On the side of the plane. And it got so big that it broke off and actually crashed into somebody's house. So it was a big thing of frozen piss and shit and water that crashed into someone's house.
Yeah. We'll call that a Boeing bomb.
If you guys know the old show Mythbusters, they actually tried to see if that happened, how that could happen, and they recreated it.
And they found that guy with the wig sewn to his skull eating and dipping his ketchup on.
There's Adam Savage going, this is a fucking shitty episode.
Oh, my God.
You need to stay away from Google.
I remember.
Rob, we'll fly together and we can hold hands the whole way.
One day, I would love to go to Japan, though. That's a dream of mine. Not only for like the hobby, but also like I'm
for
a
the
big
ramen.
Ramen, that too.
Yeah.
You guys ever come to the United States, Adam, Luke, Stuart? Yeah. You guys ever come and bring your wives and your family to New York City? I will take you out for dinner. I will treat, and you will have a great time, and you will eat good food. Trust
not
me.
All three of them at the same time.
Steve Santucci. Steve Santucci knows this, and this is a little pause. We got to gather our thoughts here. But Steve Santucci knows this. I've taken his family and his wife and out for dinner on multiple occasions in the city. Have you ever been disappointed, Steve?
No, not at all.
Never. Just making sure. That was a little delayed response. I'm a little not happy about it, but. You know, all right.
I was deciding whether or not I should be a pain in the ass, but no.
Don't be a pain in the ass. People can see us here. I'm not able to edit this.
There are two things he does. He builds models for a minimum of 4 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he doesn't go on vacation. So in lieu of going to vacations, he and his family eat, and they eat well at good restaurants. He's not eating at McDonald's.
I will die eating good.
Yeah, wearing his turtleneck, motherfucker.
I get stressed out. He will die when the sub goes down.
You know what I always want to know, Luke? This is awesome, too. When it comes to, like, the availability of products where you are and how easy it is to acquire them and whatnot. So that's a good – right, Tooch? We were talking about that as a possible topic, and I think
– So
go ahead, Tooch.
So I often talk about, like, I buy a lot of World War I stuff, and it's coming from Europe, you know? Yeah. And I have the Thoughtworks U-9, that German submarine, World War I submarine. I found from, like, a Czech manufacturer, photo etch aftermarket, that you couldn't find it. You know, you had to look for it. Like, you had to know to look. And I just pulled a thread and heard from someone, and I found it. And I always wondered, like, how much is released over there that never even makes it to the American market?
I would say a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know.
I think we're very lucky.
Yeah.
Brexit's changed things slightly. It's made things more expensive because of like import duty and that sort of stuff now. But in the main, there's a lot of stuff coming out of like Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Aftermarket type stuff, like the photo etc. from
resin, 3D printed stuff.
Yeah, there's so much. And because we're close, they'll ship it to us. No problem. At an affordable
price.
If it's then got to go all the way to the US or Canada, it starts to get expensive.
Yeah. I can pretty much, you can get anything you want really in the UK, can't you? And if you struggle to get it in the UK, you've got massive places like Super Hobby in Poland. You can buy pretty much anything from there. And the postage from Poland is like $3 or $4. It's next to nothing really.
I think we're very lucky in that respect.
Yeah.
But then conversely, you look at like Machine and Krieger, that's really expensive in the UK. Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whereas in the US, it's not, or it's nowhere near what we would pay for it in the UK. A lot of the Bandai stuff is cheaper in the US than it is here. So, but I think in the main, we're lucky being in the UK. We have lots of availability of lots of stuff.
I think over the last 5 or 6 years, trying to get stuff from America has gone up considerably.
A lot.
So I used to get quite a lot of stuff 5 or 6 years ago from America. I've got a load of NASCARs to build and stuff. I used to get decals and every aftermarket bits, but now I'm very reluctant to get anything because it's so expensive.
Yeah, the shipping has been, the shipping from like crazy from Canada to the US, well, US to Canada is insane to the point where
we get better deals on Japanese stuff than you do.
Yesterday, I took Rob to my hobby store and he found a Mach-A kit for $85. And that's when the whole pooping problem started with
him. And the box was like this big. Kid is this that it's $85. It was tiny.
Right.
Just on a side note, Riv.
Yeah.
In remarks to my banner winning on my own page.
Oh, we're going back to this now. Come on. You definitely have
like, I'm all self-conscious now.
What I can't see.
Lincoln Wright writes, I for one support our new overlord.
Speaking of you.
Yeah, kidding, Robert. Dude, this is supremely worthy of the banner. So there you go.
Yeah, but anything can look good in pictures because you can Photoshop and do whatever the hell you do with the lighting. I'll give you a true critique in a couple of days how good your model is.
Yeah, you'll be like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm we'll see.
Adam, going back to the topic at hand, Adam, if it does comfort you in any way, shit's not much cheaper here in America.
No.
You just have to pay the shipping to get it to you.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I had bought a kit for Andrew Meese, who's a big member of our group, is a good friend. He's from New Zealand. And Andrew was here stationed in the U.S. for a few months. He actually was on our episode 2. And Andrew, I wanted to give him something because he's a good friend. And I wanted to, you know, he's here in the States. So I had mailed him. Well, he was in, I think it was in Alabama, right, Frankie of Tooch, Alabama?
Yeah, he was in Alabama.
And he was stationed in Alabama for a few months. He actually came up to the Nationals that year. And I had mailed him a Suyata, the Panther 148 scale, interior one. And I believe it or not, I mailed it to Alabama the same day I mailed something to my buddy Lou in Jersey. And I'm over here in New York. It got to Lou in like 2 days. The packets to Alabama took weeks to get there. It finally gets there the day he leaves to go back to New Zealand.
Wow.
So he's on the plane going back to New Zealand. He gets a text message from one of his fellow his buddies from New Zealand that was still there. Oh, your package came here tonight. So this is the kicker. I sent him his kit. It cost me like, let's say $10 to ship from me then there. The kit's only like $50. It was $85 to ship to freaking New Zealand. So his buddy was going to ship it to New Zealand. And I said to him, well, listen, it was a gift. I don't want you to spend money for it, especially $35 or more more than what the kit is worth. It was a thank you. So I said, listen, have your buddy send you the kit and I'll get you a gift certificate to like B&A or something to offset the cost. And that's what we did. And the point I'm trying to say is not to pat myself on the back for doing that, is the fact that it costs $80 US dollars to ship to New Zealand.
It's crazy.
Was it just that kit or was there other stuff with it?
No, it was just that kit.
That's fucking insane.
So our problem in Canada is it is cheaper for us to order from Japan, Hanets, B&A, than it sometimes is to order from companies within our own country.
It makes like money.
Buying from Andy here is out of the realm.
Yeah. No. Andy's hobby headquarters. So he showed up at Heritage Con. He's opened up a Canadian distributor, so it's going to be Andy's Hobbies Canada. He will sell because it is not worth it to buy from him. Steve Munzel, who runs Value Gear, I ordered from him. he doesn't ship to Canada unless we get together as a bunch and do a big order, because he said it's just not worth it. I ordered a $20 set of value gear and it ended up costing me almost $60 after shipping.
Wow.
And Copper State Models, who, much like Mr. Tucciarelli, I absolutely love, I can't order from Copper State direct because the $50 Canadian machine gun kit cost me $100. And because it's shipped by DHL, the wonderful people in the Deutsches Handling business, they will send you a letter saying it won't get through customs unless you pay the brokerage fee of $36. Our local W5 news network broadcasts, there's no such thing. They just decide we're going to charge you $35 extra brokerage. Wow. If you don't pay it, you don't get it.
And even then, it's no guarantee you'll get it anyhow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everything that I've gotten from Red Fox comes DHL, and I've never had to pay.
They're holding it to ransom.
Literally, that's just not just modeling. Anything, DHL is chronic for that. There was a news story that they're holding products for ransom for no other reason. Oh, there's a customs charge. There is no customs charge. Wow. They're just doing it, right? And it's always the same fee.
Really?
So for us, Rob and I, going to Amps, going to Nationals in the U.S., buying stuff there and bringing it back, we can do $800 without any duty fee. So, I mean, it's cheaper for us sometimes to just go to the show, have a great time, see the guys, see other people, see great kits, and just pick up stuff there and bring it home than to order it, and even order within our own country.
That's crazy. I mean, DHL, like, I order from B&A in Australia a lot. That's one company that I order a lot from, B&A, and I always get it shipped DHL. Obviously, the weight of the package is going to determine how much the freight is going to be. But I've never had a problem with a package from them. I'll get stuff from B&A in like 3 days after ordering it from Australia.
It's crazy how fast that shit.
Right. I mean, I'll order like a Monday at like 8 a.m. Now, of course, the time difference. And then it'll ship by Tuesday. And by Thursday or Friday, the package is at my door. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll spend $40 on a package sometimes. Mostly I buy usually like photo etch and some, I'm not going to say maybe some 3D printed stuff sometimes. I'm going to edit that out. But I'll usually get stuff like that's not really heavy. Very rarely do I buy a kit from there. Like if I order from Hobby Easy, if anybody ever uses Hobby Easy in Hong Kong, Hobby Easy is fantastic because the prices are amazing. Yeah. And if you're not buying big things like kits and you're sticking just to aftermarket and things like that, the shipping is cheap as hell. So you could buy like, you know, barrels and photo etch and spend, you know, you're buying stuff from cost and you're spending maybe $15 to ship it from Hong Kong. But if you buy a kit, the kit's $40 and they're charging you $40 to ship it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. You remember I was doing those commissioned little dinosaurs, right?
I do.
So the box that the guy shipped it to me in was like, you know, this big, like this big. I managed to shrink it because I'm like, why is the box so fucking big? So I put it in the smallest box possible. Still costs the same amount to ship it. Same as when I was doing the shirts, I was like, should I just get the envelopes, right? Because that makes sense. It's, you know, just cram it into the smallest thing possible. No, it was cheaper for me to ship them in those pizza boxes that I sent them in. It was cheaper.
Wow.
Because an envelope doesn't stack. It doesn't do anything, right? So I think they have to handle it a little different.
You could
have
cleaned the pizza box out before you sent me the shirts.
Yeah, you're right.
Deep dish or Chicago style or New York style?
I usually rinse them out first, usually.
So, and if I may, before we go any further, neither Hobby Easy or B&A have sponsored either one of these podcasts.
No.
If they want to, we'd be more than willing to accept products.
Dude, what's great is
Modeling Insanity Pod and the Black Rifle Model Works.
Talking about like European hobby shops, I use Jadar Hobbies a lot. I don't know if any of you have used Jadar. Jada Hobbies is amazing because they're able to get Aber stuff fast. Yeah. Hole of stuff, photo etch. And our buddy Chris Green, who's good friends with Santucci and myself, better friends with Tooch, but he's a good friend of mine as well. He's in Poland. You want to tell him the story about him looking for that? So Tooch will tell the story.
So Chris Green's in the city that Jadar Hobbies located. So he's on his phone. He Googles. He searches for it. He gets the address. He goes there and he's looking around. He's looking at the picture of the storefront. And he's looking around. He goes, I'm on the right street. I'm at the right address. The picture on his phone and what he sees don't match. He can't find Jadar Hobbies.
There's no store.
He found a hobby store there, but no store.
There's no store.
Yeah.
So then purely web-based then?
I don't know, but they have a storefront. They have an address. They have guys that correspond. If you look on Google, it has like a fucking store. Like it's there on the street, but the street doesn't have the store when you go there in person.
It's probably some sort of tax reason. Yeah, they need to be a bricks and mortar store. So they've just downloaded some.
I don't know if anybody's listening knows anything about this. Well, listen, hold on. In Chris Green's defense, he might have been heavily intoxicated because he got arrested a couple of days.
No, he did not get arrested. Nope.
Oh, he didn't get arrested.
No. What happened is he learned his lesson. Drinking foolish beer and vodka is not healthy for you. And he woke up in a Cold War era drunk tank. He just paid for the fee for being in there. They picked him up off of.
He passed out. Listen to this. Our buddy Chris is a great model. He's an amazing modeler. Amazing. He's a civilian contractor now for the army, and they're doing stuff because of the stuff going on now. And he's in Poland to help, like, the Polish forces out or whatever it was.
Kind of.
And he loves to drink. And he tells the story that he got hammered drunk, and then he was sleeping, and he was dreaming of pine trees. Like, he's dreaming of pine trees.
Christmas trees,
and he wakes up in a forest.
No, he's in a pine bush in the middle of a housing complex.
Oh, that's what it was. I thought it was in a forest with pine trees. All right, he was in a pine bush. But
his coat is missing, his keys are missing, his phone is missing. He walks out onto the main street, and he notices this crane. He goes, "Oh, that's where my hotel is." So he backtracks to the hotel. And it's like, you can't make this up, but it sounds made up. He finds a coat check ticket in his pocket, so now he's backtracking.
He had no memory of being at a fucking restaurant, but it was like a movie. He finds like this thing in his pocket. And he's like, wait a minute, I don't remember going here. And then he's backtracking, trying to find his belongings.
Where's my car? The only thing he didn't find was his glasses.
So what you're saying is he's a good modeler, but an incredible drinker.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to meet this guy.
Listen, this is the story about Chris Green, who I kind of embellished the story about him running around the hotel in his underwear and knocking on the girls' volleyball team door and almost getting arrested. But according to Santucci, there was no girls' volleyball team. I don't know how that got in my head. I thought that he was really running around.
Is that a fantasy of
yours? What?
Isn't that a fantasy of yours?
Dude, I had a very bad experience. Meaning, my first year of college, I went to Springfield College in Massachusetts, and I was hanging out with a guy that I knew, and his girlfriend went to Mount Holyoke up in Massachusetts. It's an old girls' school, and we're in the freaking dorm room talking. He's hanging out, and I'm kind of like talking to this broad chick. Am I allowed to say broad? Is that okay? I'm talking to this girl, and I'm sitting down, and she's sitting down, and everybody knows I'm vertically challenged. Right, vertically challenged. On a good day, I'm 5'6". Depends on the humidity level. So I'm sitting talking to this girl and hitting it off. And she's got to get up to go to the bathroom. And she stands up. And she's like 6'5". She played for the girls' volleyball team. And I'm like, how is this even going to work? It's not even possible. It's not possible. He can't mate a giraffe with a wolf. They're too big.
I think the size difference is the problem there. It's probably more of a genetic thing.
Well, you know what I mean.
I'm not a scientist.
So I was like, listen, this is not going to work. So I did have my own foray with the girls' volleyball team at one time, too.
But you know what, though? Your knees would never hurt you.
You know, Justin, you say some of the most fucked up things I know, man. You really do. Some people think that I say some really inappropriate things or crazy, but I got to sometimes, that's why I got to cut you out sometimes.
I got 25 years in collision repair.
No, but back to the duty thing, though. But the shipping is astronomical lately with the shipping. It's really bad. It's like getting worse and worse right now. And even with Rob, like, I had stuff for him. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to give it to him at Amps because I can't ship it. It's going to cost more than what I spent on it. I don't know how you guys survive with that stuff.
It's becoming restrictive. So, for example, I ordered a Quintus Studios cockpit set for the 48 scale Zvezda Hein that I'm just about to start building. Got loads of shit over that, but that's a different story. But I found it Super Hobby. I found it at some random Greek website. That had it. The only ones for that version of the hide. They were the only people that had that set. The set itself was, because they've gone up in price massively, Quintus stuff. I think it was like 40 euros for the set. Shipping from Greece to the UK was 38 euros. It was the same price as
Price.
But they're the only game in town.
Have you tried Red? Have you tried Red Fox? Did they have anything?
Yeah, they don't. Red Fox don't. They do Hind, but they don't do for that version, which was the issue. But Quintus stuff's gone through the roof price wise.
Yeah, it has. Really has.
Well, it's Russian.
Well, yeah, that'd be why.
Sanctioned all over the place, right? So
apparently they're not Russian. But I don't think Quintus are Russian. We found this out.
They are Russian. They are Russian, but they're registered in Kazakhstan. Or...
Kazakhstan, that's it, yeah, because we were...
They are Russian, but they just moved.
Yeah, horror accents and stuff.
That's where Borat comes from. Borat.
It's a Russian business, though, yeah.
Russian-owned, but based in Kazakhstan, that's right.
A lot of companies have shifted the stuff over there.
Adam, come on, contribute to this discussion. What do you want to talk about?
We talked about Friday night when Luke come down and he got absolutely hammered. My wife his wine glass up.
I should have learned my lesson last time. Yeah. And the lesson is do not drink wine with Adam's wife.
Oh, she got you hammered drunk?
So she's from New Zealand. So she can fucking drink, right? Now, I don't really drink anymore. I haven't really drank for about 3 years properly. I used to drink a lot, but I don't really touch it now and again. And every time my wine glass got like halfway down, she'd top it up. Mm-hmm. God knows how much wine I ended up drinking Saturday morning. And like my eyes were like piss holes in the snow. I was like, oh my God, we've got to go to a show.
Yeah, you were still pissed. That 100% you were still pissed that you like
this. Honestly, thing. It was a mess.
What kind of wine were you drinking?
We started with Prosecco. Then it was New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. Then it was God knows.
You had about four beers as well.
You can't mix beer and wine, man. Are you crazy? listen, Rob Adams can because he's got like some weird like Komodo dragon stomach that he can just put acid in there.
In case you're wondering, Rob Adams has finished his fourth vodka cooler and is upstairs currently smoking a blueberry cherry 35% THC joint. So
you know what I gotta deal with when I try to do this podcast?
What time is it there, Frank?
It's 5 o'clock. He's actually talking to my wife about dinner right now. She's just chatting with him.
And that's before he's actually inhaled.
How do you think, because you guys are so embedded now in like the social media side of the hobby with the podcast and everything else. Rob's group's got, 9,000 members?
Rob Adams' group has over 9,000, Model Makers Union, over 9,000.
Yeah. Good thing or a bad thing for the hobby?
I mean, listen, I think the numbers for something like that is very deceiving. I mean, you heard me go off on that whole Ali Clarici or Clarecki or however you say that guy's name on the Art of Modeling. Where it's all, like, I'm not saying that, obviously, Rob has a legit 9,000 people. Hmm. But some of these groups have so many people, but they're not active.
Yeah.
Right? So there you have these members in your group, but only a handful, 100, maybe 150 guys might be really looking at the page. Maybe it's because of the algorithms in Facebook. Because I got so much, I don't know, maybe it's something recently when it comes to Facebook, but I don't see a lot of stuff anymore. Because I got so many people, I got so many friends on the friend list now through a hobby that it just overtakes my feed that I don't see posts coming in from groups and things like that. So I don't know if it's an algorithm thing, but you're really not getting, if you have 9,000 active members, you would have like thousands of posts a week.
Easily. Yeah, I think that's people join groups, but then they're inactive.
Right.
You know, they're voyeurs almost. they're just, Trump. Yeah. It's a big thing.
I'll say that about my Facebook. So I've got a personal Facebook page where I put my models and stuff. I've got over 4,500 followers on that page that look at my work. And if I put something up, I'm lucky to get 10 comments out of 4,500 followers.
Right.
So it's kind of a similar sort of thing, I think.
That's the nature of it.
Yeah. I get more active. See, I don't know if you guys have your own dedicated modeling page.
No.
So I think I'm almost at 3,700 followers on my modeling page, which is good, but it's nothing compared to like some other guys that have like 10,000 or whatever. I mean, when I make a post on a build that I'm working on or I'm sharing something model wise, I'll get like, you know, anywhere from 250 to 500 reactions, likes, hearts, whatever. Maybe depending on how good the build is or interesting that it is, it might get maybe 30 to 40 comments. This is on my own page. Mm. Now, I usually spam that a little bit to some of the groups just to give content. So yeah. If I share that on, let's say, Tamaya Model Magazine, and it's getting a good reaction on my page, and I put it on Tamaya, I might get anywhere from 50 to like 100 likes maybe on Tamaya. But there's 100,000 members on that.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a mm-hmm. big
right. number of members there. But then there's another group, let's say, like, for instance, the Model Makers Union. And I wish Rob was here because I need to bring him down to reality. But I'll post on there and I might get 6 likes or 10. Yeah. There's 9,000 people. I'm not saying that you need to like everything that comes across the page, but there has to be a little more than 10 interactions on a page.
Maybe a lot of the people in the Models Makers Union listen to our podcast and don't like how much crap you give, Rob.
Because I know my sister-in-law wanted to bust your ass after you spoke to me on the first podcast.
What did I say? Oh, what did you do, man?
Saying, you're pissing off the French ladies.
Oh, but what did I say that was bad? I didn't say anything bad about you, Frank.
It just becomes
noise. I just said that I had you on the podcast because I was sick and tired of Santucci trying to give you a shout out all the time. And that if I got you on the podcast, I can keep an eye on you.
Don't break the bromance here. Don't break the bromance. Steve and I, we were meant to hang out together.
Frank, he puts you on the podcast and you get the banner. Not once, but twice.
Yeah, so he gave me a shot. So then I sent all the Stugs I ever built to Steve, and he started rotating them on the banner just to see if Rob would notice.
We like to do it our way. I wasn't happy, but yeah, but again, with the groups, like Instagram, like I try to link. I don't know. It's weird. I have a hard time figuring out how to post on Instagram. I know it's easy. I don't know why I have a hard time. Maybe someone needs to give me a tutorial.
I really struggle with Instagram.
Yeah, it's
all hashtags and at this and at that. And
I don't have time for that shit, man. I don't have time for it. So I know everybody's like, oh, you know, if you want to share your models and stuff, Instagram is where it's at. You get a lot of interactions on Instagram. I'm like, dude, I have a hard time even posting on Facebook. I'm going to do Instagram as well. I mean, Justin's got his own Ryan Model Works page.
Yeah.
Frankie's got the model.
Doesn't get a lot of interaction too often.
You guys don't, Luke, you don't have your own model page. Adam, Stewart, you guys don't have a model page?
Adam has his own, but then we have obviously the group. Stu's got his own Instagram, G Scale, but I just post on Black Rifle Model Work, truly.
This was your page, technically, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, we don't get loads of interaction, really. Mm. I mean, the YouTube channel got what? 3,500 subscribers. Like an average viewing is like 500-600 for a video, and maybe 10 to 20 comments. The Zvezda Hind got a lot of comments, but they weren't from my website.
I have a YouTube channel and I've neglected it and haven't done anything with it because I just don't have time. I mean, to do the podcast, to edit the podcast, to do stuff in the room, to do stuff for the magazines or whatever, or just work, family. I don't have time to film an episode or video and edit it and then get it on YouTube. I want to, but it's hard. But some of my videos, I don't pay attention. I'm like, holy shit, this video's got 4,000 views. I only got like, you know, I was like, how the hell has it got 4,000 views? But it's also named too. I mean, when you talk about it, people want to look it up. But I think you should be getting more views on your channel. We got to bump that up a little bit.
To be honest, I don't think that we spend enough time editing and the production value, if you like, of a video.
Right.
Because we all work. We've all got a full-time job.
Right.
I don't have time to sit and edit a video for 10 hours for a 30-minute video. And I think that's why I think that the views on those videos are as low as they are, because actually the production value just isn't there.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
You look at other channels and like it drives me nuts. So there's certain channels that are based in the UK, UK modelers, that do live streams like all the time. They're going live every day, or certainly every other day. And it's just solid gold shite. It really is. It's
trouble here. You want to drop names?
No, no, I'm not going to do that. It is just complete crap. But they seem to attract like this massive audience and interaction in their live chat and stuff. But actually, if you watch it and you look at the live chat, you're like, I wouldn't want those people in my live stream anyway. You know what I mean? But so, and I think anyone now, anyone who's got a smartphone can go on YouTube.
Anybody can go on smartphone. It's, but I think the production has a big thing to do with it. I mean, you we'll look at some of the bigger YouTubers out there. In the, obviously, Plasmo.
You mean me?
Oh. Rob Adam. Night, which is, you have no production, neither, Rob, but you, that one. You
know, I want to digress just one bit because I got to bust Luke's balls. So he did a video, his year in review, and he was off broken there for a bunch of months, right? So you were working away, and you had all kinds of time to build like 28 models or whatever it was for this year.
Yeah.
And throughout all of those models, you did not include your turkey shoot build.
No, I didn't. I totally
disappointed.
I told him that.
But in my defense, what I did do yesterday, my Mac build for the Insanity Podcast shoot build and my turkey shoot build, I put into the comp and they both placed. There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. And you didn't give us any recognition for even inspiring you to do those builds. The ungrateful bastard. I'm gonna give Luke the ungrateful bastard nice. Fucking thing that I do. No, it's all right. You're forgiven now. Luke is frozen on my screen. Is Luke still there?
Oh, yeah, Luke is there.
You were frozen for a second there. I thought we hurt your feelings or something.
It's because I was embarrassed.
No, it's less. And I was a little disappointed when Rob Adams told me, he's like, you know, Luke did a video of his year in review and he didn't mention this turkey shoot build. I was like, that bastard didn't. I was like, oh my God, I got to have a talk with this guy. And I actually said,
you didn't even fucking talk about it.
I was like, Rob Adams told me you didn't post the turkey shoot build and I'm a little disappointed in you. So, yeah, no, Rob.
Well, that's because I was special. That didn't count.
Hey, but that proves to you, Luke, that I watch your shit, right? So
yeah, exactly.
Listen, the Marque, we're doing. Listen, we try to get involved in group builds. I mean, we got the Red Beach One Studios with Rob Burnside, who's a great guy. Rob's going to come on our show eventually. I don't know if you guys know Rob. Yeah. Red Beach Studios, he's a great guy, and that World War One group build is good. We have the Marque group build, right, Justin? Yeah. That's interesting because you did that as like a little piggyback off of our Lincoln Wright episode.
Yeah.
And who's a great guy. That Lincoln Wright episode was fantastic. That's actually fastly becoming our best episode when it comes to listens, maybe because it's the person who was there, because Lincoln's a great guy, knowledgeable.
Yeah. Well, he draws the people, but I've actually gotten feedback from various other people that said that it was an awesome episode.
It was. He broke my balls a little bit too. You know?
He's very natural.
Yeah.
We broke him out of his shell because
he was extra natural with us.
Yeah.
And him and Frankie fucking, you know, fat bastard.
The way you guys are on your podcast is very natural.
Right.
Yeah.
So that allowed him to be himself.
Right. We're not
just come right out with the sumo buttholes.
Yeah. Well, just like how we came into here, like you got a guy like Lincoln Wright, who is a very big name in the hobby, at least in that Marque world, but he's got a fact book. He works for AK. He's got a name for himself. He's a great modeler. We didn't do like some pre-interview. We said, hey, listen, you want to be on the show? He's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I go, Justin set it up. We're recording at, you know, whatever time it was for him, and whatever, because he's in Australia at the time.
10 a.m.
The guy got on. We spoke for like 20 minutes. I said, you listen to the podcast, right? He goes, yeah. I went back and listened. I said, we're winging it. Just have a good time. Within 5 minutes, he realized this is going to be fun. Oh, my God. And you don't even know what I edited out of that podcast. There was shit that I didn't put in.
Yeah. Well, you remember when he asked. He asked how long it would take, and we said 2 hours. He's like, 2 hours? He was disappointed. He was like not happy about that 2 hours. When we got to the 2 hour mark, I think Jesse said, well, we're at the 2 hour mark, Link. And he's like, we're not done, are we? He was like not wanting to finish.
He wanted to keep going. Yeah.
He keep going.
I was trying to be respectful of his time. He goes, no, F that. We're going.
He's just a great guy. And he comes into our build rooms from time to time now. Now he really enjoys hanging out.
I think he was just being a spy so he could create his own Discord.
He has been developing some things.
Yeah, that's all right. Again, I don't mind being an inspiration. You know what
don't
I mean?
Don't worry about it. I'll have a talk with that guy.
Way we don't see Meezy anymore. He's busy doing his own Discord.
No offense, Adam, because your wife is from New Zealand, but who fucking cares? He's on all. He's a, what's it called? A Kiwi?
Kiwi.
Asshole. Let him go do his own thing.
Andrew's actually got a Discord build room going right now.
Who? Misi?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a special Sunday afternoon Discord build room.
Are you serious? I'm not. Am I part of this group build? This build?
Oh, it's his local. It's local New Zealand shit.
How do you know that he's got it going? How do you know
he's got a new girl? He's got a new girlfriend. We're fucked. Okay.
What's wrong with that guy? You don't
remember that night? He got off real quick. He goes model building of the girlfriend. Bye, guys.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him, man? That's I'm not happy. But anyway, back to Lincoln Wright. So the Lincoln Wright Mach-K build has got, you know, it's pretty cool because we got the Luna Combat book that's signed by Lincoln Wright as a giveaway. As well as the two new kits that are coming out, right, Justin? Is a kit, a new Falke kit coming out?
Yeah, it's a 35th scale Falke kit.
And another model that's coming out or something, right?
35th scale Grosser Hund.
So these two models are going to be giveaways as well as the book. But the person who's is going to be giving that away or determining the winners is Lincoln Wright.
Yeah, it couldn't be any more perfect, could it, really?
It's perfect.
It's the machine intriguer, really.
It was a great show. Listen, the podcast is evolving. When I started the podcast and Tooch was with me on the Miscreant Up one, as well as, well, Justin was on an episode that was never released at the end before the fall. And Rob Adams, I always wanted Rob Adams on, but he was always in La La Land. He can never be coherent enough to be on at the time. I was waiting for that. But the podcast has evolved. Listen, we're on episode 14 that's going to be released tomorrow, or at least early Tuesday.
Yeah, and so we'll see that on Wednesday.
Right, because I want to No. It's going to be done and ready to go on Monday, but I don't know if it's going to be Monday morning or Monday night. So it'll be ready for Tuesday, and it'll be ready for people's commutes to Nats. And we're on target. Our first
episode. I like that correlation that you made for it fucking taking so long. That's
good right. Term. Well, we've been piggybacking, and there's some things we talked about that might be time sensitive in there, but it might that already passed, but it is what it is, man. But the podcast has evolved, and we're on target to have 15 episodes in a year. 15.
Which is good.
So I think the first episode dropped in June of 2023. By June of 2023, we'll be on either episode 15 or 16-ish, 17. Might be 17, depends. This is going to be an episode. We also have special episodes. We had the Christmas episode. I don't know if anybody heard the Christmas episode. When I talk about how I got coal for Christmas, and my father made me think I had coal the whole friggin' day.
How I got beaten for fucking switching stickers.
You know, and that was all of the outcome. But I mean, I think that, you know, and the whole idea about the podcast is I think people who like it, and there's going to be people who love it, and there's going to be people who like it, and there's going to be people who hate it. You know, I like that. I want people to not like it. I don't want everybody to like the podcast. It's my son. I don't want everybody to like my podcast.
Did the Mets just hit a home run?
No, he's happy upstairs. Again, we have a dynamic with me and Santucci, Rob. It's like everybody's got their place when it comes to the podcast. And what you see in the podcast or hear in the podcast is what we are like all the time.
Yeah.
And we're not corporate. You know, we don't get sponsors. We're not trying to be family friendly like some of the other podcasts. And I respect that. Like the other podcasts, they have a format. They stick to it. They're great. These guys are knowledgeable. But one thing that I've said before, and I do hang my head on this, is that we're modelers. We're not entertainers. We're not trained radio guys, you know? Mm-hmm. And some people's personalities translate well on a podcast, and some people don't. You know, I'm an outgoing, fun guy. I'm going to break rules. Some people, I get messages from people. They would say, no, I hated you at first. But I've come to understand your personality and why you say the things you say, and I love it now.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. And that goes back to the YouTube world, Instagram, whatever. First and foremost, we're modelers. We're not content creators.
Right.
We're not in the film industry, even though we are
But we want to build models, and because of the way the world is now, it so happens that we share that on the internet. But that's what we're doing. We're not YouTubers. Mm. You know, we're not professional content creators or any of that stuff. And like you say, some people will like it, some people won't.
Some people won't. And I like that, though. One of the best lines in Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie, was when his ratings are going through the roof and the executives are like, why are people listening to this guy? He's smut. He's talking nonsense. It's like, it's nothing. And they're like, well, most people listen because the people who like him want to keep listening at a certain point because they want to hear what he's going to say next.
Yeah.
And the people who don't like him even listen longer because they want to hear what he has to say next.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
Why exactly did I know that you were going to go to that one there, Riv?
Deja vu.
They want to know what they're going to say next. So, I mean, again,
I can honestly say, speaking purely from I've never listened to one of your episodes and not laughed out loud. Every single episode.
I hope you're laughing at Riff.
Every single episode has made me laugh.
And I hope you're laughing at him, not with him.
Yeah, probably.
No, you're supposed to laugh. That's the whole idea. And sometimes when I go back and listen, like one time there was a cold opening for Steve and I was really rude to him. And I'm rude to Steve a lot on the podcast because he's rude to me off the podcast. And what?
Wait, me or Adriano? I get confused.
You.
No, you.
Okay.
You.
And me. My wife sometimes listens to it and she goes, oh my God, how can you say that to Steve? That is so bad. And I'm like, it's going to work. Don't worry. It works. And it works. Because this is how we do. We do Discord like this. It's no different than what we have here on StreamYard, right? Yeah. Yep. So when we're doing Discord, we're looking at each other, and it's easier than when we used to record the Miscreant podcast. We never had the screen on. It used to be nothing. We would just be talking. It's a lot different talking to somebody and not see them than when you see them, because at least you can have like a visual cue.
That was one of my things, like when you asked me to start.
Which is
we can't see each other. I think this is going to be a lot harder, right?
No, yeah. You got to see each other.
Yeah. It's an anomaly in itself. I mean, only what? 12% of our communication as a species is verbal.
Right.
Everything is facial expression, tone, and all right. that body language and all that stuff. So if you can't see somebody, it's very, very difficult to build a chemistry or whatever you need. And that's why I think podcasts, particularly in the hobby, like who knew? Who knew that they would be as popular as they are? Because what we do is a pure visual thing.
100% visual.
Mm-hmm. However, the podcasts have exploded.
Right. They have been. And everybody's got their own take on things, right? You know, you listen to On the Bench in Australia, which was like the first ones. They had their own spin. You got Stuart Clark on the Scale Model podcast, who's Mr. Friends with Mr. Donati over there in Canada. He's got his own spin. You got the Sprue Cutters Union guys. You got the Posse guys. You got Mojo, all these guys, the geeks. Bill Sardways. I'm missing a couple. Sorry, guys. But you got – everybody has their own style, and everybody has their own content. And we're never going to change. I love just having a good time. Listen, I love these guys. I mean, Steve is a personal friend of mine in my – you know, I see Steve outside of the hobby. You know, Justin and Rob and Frankie, I consider these guys my good friends. I mean, I'm not going to drive out of my way to go help Frankie if he's stuck, you know, in a ditch or something somewhere. But I'll at least call him on the phone and say, hello.
Who did you always say was the guy that would come no matter what was going on?
Frankie Donati.
No, that was me.
No, Rob Adams. Yes. You are. No, Rob. Listen, Rob Adams was instrumental in helping me form this new group at the start. And he knows I break his chops. I break Tucci's chops and Justin's chops. But it's out of con. It's like supposed to be funny. Some people might say, God, this guy's rude to these guys, but it's funny. You know, when I tell Tucci needs to put a bag over his head so we can do the podcast, it's not meant to be insulting. It's meant for you to get to laugh.
It's a very British thing as well. So if we're not taking the piss out of each other, it means you don't like that individual.
That's true. If I don't break your balls, that means I don't like
you. If I'm treating you with respect, I hate your guts.
Yeah, that's about right.
We've got a member from the Netherlands, and he joins our sort of off-air Zoom hangout. And sometimes the humor, he struggles sometimes because in the Netherlands it's not a thing. Right. Whereas here in the UK, like we will literally rip the piss out of each other, but we're really good friends.
Yeah.
And if we're not ripping the piss out of you, it means we don't actually like you all that much. And sometimes it's like you can't.
Right.
Like, no, it's human. It's what we do. But it gets
it's true. It's actually quite weird to think that there's cultures where it's not like that, honestly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's like, what do you actually talk about?
You're fun at a party, right? Like,
Imagine a situation where friends are pleasant to each other.
I mean, I've never done military service or anything, but I know the way military people are, and that's the way they are. Yeah, you beat the shit out of each other constantly, but you fucking, you're brothers.
If you come into a build room of ours on Discord, and a lot of people have been coming in lately, you guys have been jumping in, and we get anywhere from, it could be 10 to 20 people on a given night, and it's fun. People come in, they're like, wow, this is fun. I'll tell you right now, and Tucci will agree with me on this, and so will Rob and Frankie. I get my balls busted the whole friggin' night. Not true, Tucci. I just sit there and I'm trying to build and trying to concentrate while these guys are taking shots at me. So this is my opportunity on the podcast to get back at these bastards for breaking my chops in the build rooms on a daily basis. We record once every 2-3 weeks, and I'm in that room every night getting my chops busted.
There was a night someone new came on that had obviously listened to the podcast and was just busting Rob's balls, like throwing back everything Rob does to us on the podcast. He was throwing back at Rob, and you can see Rob was visibly getting bothered by it at one point. But it was like, what do you, I'm thinking to myself, what do you expect? That's how you sounded.
I was like, who the fuck is this guy
trying to do the same thing with you? And it's like, why is everybody busting my balls? Well, because that's your persona. Get used to it.
Well, I always come back. I'll get a zinger in, so I'll be like, no, I'll keep my mouth shut, and then I'll come back with like something very insulting.
Yeah, you know, it's a fucking reap what you sow kind of thing, right? He starts it, other people come in and finish it.
Oh, hold on, everybody sees it's 2 hours into the recording. Rob Adams is slowly falling into the abyss. Listen, talk.
Actually, you're probably right.
Rob, Rob, hold on. Whoa. I want you to do something for me. And this is going to be kind of we're going to kind of end it in a few minutes, but this is what I want you to do for me. You ready? You with me?
I'm ready, Captain.
I want you to say the alphabet without singing it right now for me.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
This guy, so you're a functional alcoholic.
This guy is
very functional.
The only thing you can see is his hand has actually been stroking my thigh for the last 4 years.
But anyway, I did get the Black Rifle Model Works shirts. I know that we talked about this. Luke sent me shirts. I got a shirt. Everybody got a shirt except Donati because he was not part of the podcast at the time. So
what size are you, Frank?
2XL.
He's about 9 inches.
Thank you, Justin.
We have more. We have more
stuff for you at Amps.
We have more stuff coming after Amps Nationals. We're going to be putting another order in of all sweatshirts and t-shirts and stuff. So when that stuff comes in, Luke, you give me the sizes of the core guys.
And we'll get them here because shipping is too expensive. You guys are going to have to come to us to get them.
We got to send it. And no, I know
shipping
Luke
isn't bad. When you amalgamate a bunch of shit, right? So
right.
Riv received the biggest order of the shirts that I did, right?
Right.
And paid less than for one person getting one shirt. Because I sent a box of what? How many was there in there? Like 14 or something.
Something like that.
And then you distribute them. Thank you. But it was like even cheaper because it was a bigger box. Like it doesn't make fucking sense.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, if you're not in that industry, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. I guess if you're in an industry, it probably does make a little bit of sense, right?
Right.
It's like, just remember, Luke, I'm not the short one. Okay. I'm not the short one.
I am.
He obviously has a shorter torso, though.
I'm going to get to pat Riv on the top of the head, and that never happens for me.
Am I little bald spot here?
I'm 5'8", and he's 5'6". I'm like, no shit.
Listen, Adams, but you know what? You don't stand up straight because you don't take care of yourself, so you're really like 5'6". You're like hunched over.
You're right.
Actually, at the TV show, it was pretty funny because they were like, okay, guys, stand up. Oh, Frank, you sit. I'm serious. Like, Rob, you stay standing. Frank, sit down. Oh, that's better.
Yeah, because like all of a sudden his head's out of the fucking shot because the camera.
Now Frankie is a giant. I'll climb Frank at some point at the Nationals.
No, stop.
Climb him.
Is that when Adams and I are going to be hitting the taco bar and you're going to hit the regular bar?
Well, you know what?
You're going to find Donati and climb him.
There's almost 50, I think there's, like they said, between 45 and 50 people signed up for this thing on Friday.
They better have plenty of tacos.
I don't care about the food. I don't care about.
I love tacos,
dude. It's a restaurant anyway.
I care about the fucking food.
Justin, don't worry, he can climb. I got a 9-inch handhold.
Well, we got segued in. I was trying to finish a point here. We're trying to kind of close off. But once we get back from amps, Luke, you got to give me everybody's sizes, and I'll send everything off you. Don't worry, yeah, about it. I got you. All right,
we'll wear them at Telford.
Whatever, and I got our shirts that we're going to be bringing to the. I got for the Nationals. I told you, so we'll be good.
Oh, you're going to wear them at Telford. That's some good exposure there. Thank you, right? Sir.
Well, at least a stick. I'll give you some stickers or something or whatever.
Yeah, we'll do.
We're trying to figure some. We're going to get some more stuff made. I might get some other things made.
Throw some glass, one of those poker chips in there for them to give out too.
No, I'm not going to. I think that you guys should do poker chips.
That actually would be a bad idea.
Poker chips should only be distributed by us.
Right, no. I'm talking about the Black Rifle guys should have their own Black Rifle Metalworks. Yeah.
Right, they should do that. They should do that, yes.
Shut up, Rob. Luke's
send
talking.
Them all over the fucking world. Away. No.
We will have the coin for chips.
Yeah, no, that's good. And like when I ordered the chips here from the company here, they were having a sale and then like another sale that weekend I bought them. So I was able to get 225 chips for like $133, which is not bad.
That's not bad. You can't remember
it. You know, so and we gave away 10 at the last show. I know that we're having a debate of how many we should give away. Someone's like, oh, we'll only give out 4 or 5 at the. I'm like, no, it's the Nationals. We'll each get like between 5 and 7 chips and we'll give them out, right? How many chips you think is too much? Is 30 too much of the show? 20 then?
30, I think that would all depend on the size of the show. For example, if I put out 30 chips at PennCon, that's, you know, a third of the models that are at the show.
That's too much.
You know what I mean?
So there was 500 models at MosquitoCon. We gave out 10.
Yeah, that's about right.
And I think the geeks gave out like 5 or 6.
Because you want it to, you still, you know, exposure, yes, but you do want it to still mean something.
Right.
Right. You can't be having them to fucking every John, Dick, and Harry out there. Yeah, I like the way this branch looks on your diorama. You have a coin.
Here's a chip.
You know? No.
Everything that got a chip at MosquitoCon, and I posted the stuff that Mike Titz went to, I know Toots posted, I think that everything that got a coin was really good.
We should each just make our own investment. I think I think colors would be a good thing.
If you guys want to do that, you're more than willing to. I can give you the link and the logos are uploaded. They don't necessarily have to go to the best model or the most exceptional. It can go to someone who did a good job that's trying too, which is the good, I think, good as well. Yeah. It doesn't have to go to the best.
It's about recognition.
Right. Because then like Steve Santucci would never get anything.
No shit.
Sorry, I couldn't say that without laughing. I'm sorry. No, you do good work, Tooch. Depends on the day.
I will say, like, I had 5. I gave one to my friend Sean. He's in our core. And I went around, and we agreed to kind of do it after the judges were done. And it was hard. It was hard. You know, there were a lot of good stuff on the table. It was, like, hard because you wanted to make sure you made a good choice. And it took a while, and I was down to 2. And I go, here, Sean, have another one. He goes, oh, damn it. Really?
Same thing. I
didn't want to go through that bullshit either.
I gave it to
him. No, what was interesting was all three of us kind of, without realization, gravitated to the same models. Yeah. Like, Sean goes, did you put that one down? No, it must have been Riv. And I put one down on one. He goes, you put that one down? I was going to put it down on that one. So we were kind of like in the same gallery without knowing it.
Our club in London, when we were at HeritageCon, my London IPMS chapter, we did the poker chips and we got them. We did the same thing. And I did find that a lot of us gravitate because, you know, good things are good things. If someone does good work, we all recognize that really good. I've never felt the need to do the right choice because if I liked it and I felt it was worthy of a chip, that's the right choice. I like it. My word to them. But we definitely do have a tendency to pick out like the cream. Definitely rises to the top.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I mean, and I've discovered that too because there's a couple of shows that I sponsored the award, but I'm actually there to pick the award. Nobody else gets to pick it. I get to pick it.
Yeah.
And turns out that fucker got everybody else's award too, right? I mean, it's just what it is. Sometimes a guy just walks in there with something that just fucking smacks the pants off everyone. Right?
And I think if you understand modeling, then when you look at something, you know it's good.
Yeah.
So someone else that understands modeling and the processes that that person must have gone through to create whatever it is, naturally those people are going to be drawn to the same build.
Like a walker off the street doesn't necessarily know what they're looking at. No, so it could be like the brightest thing. It could be the coolest thing. They have no idea what the fuck they're looking at.
Yeah.
And often that's where the, because there's one award that's done by just walk-ins. So it's like a people's choice, but it's people's choice, not by the modelers that are there.
Just grab someone off the street.
But everybody coming off the street, they get to vote. And then that's another separate award, right?
Right. PenCon does that too.
That's the one that's interesting because you're like, what? And it's usually something cute, like a minion or some.
Yeah.
I had to judge. I'm an armor guy, more or less. And the guy from Hamilton was an armor guy. And we had to pick the best Canadian subject. We were going through and we horned in on an Avro Arrow kit. We weren't 100% sure, but both of us were kind of like, this is probably the one. We grabbed a couple of the airplane guys and they're like, oh, no, you picked one of the best kits here. So, you know, we know good. We
know good, whether it's your genre or not.
Yeah.
We
understand that, which is really what I think is pretty cool with the hobby. Right?
Yeah. I think that the whole challenge coin thing, and it's funny because when you go order your chips on these sites, like we use Chip Labs. They actually have a section where it's called challenge coins. So it's something
they're
that
more money, right?
I don't know, maybe, but it definitely is becoming more and more mainstream, not just in the modeling. It has to be going just on in someplace general. Else, yeah. too.
We give them out in Scouts. Scouts has a special chip.
It's a big thing in the military.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
Decades. I mean, I've been out 15 years, but when I was in, it was a big thing. You worked with another unit, swap berets, and you swap challenge coins.
It's cool. I mean, I know that the a couple of the other podcasts do something similar. They have some of them have these spend like $5 a coin for some of the stuff they give away, but they're special things. But we're not Patreon. We don't have sponsors giving us things, so it's all coming out of, let's say, our pocket. And, you know, it's, it costs money to upload the podcast. It costs money to buy shirts. It costs money to buy stickers. It costs money to buy chips. I mean, there is overhead and things like that. So I don't mind. Listen, like I'll always give back to this hobby. I love it. I love the people that are a part of it. And this is my gateway drug. This is what makes me, like, everybody knows I'm a cancer survivor. So when I was really sick and getting back and getting healthy again, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have this hobby. I'm not talking about sitting down talking in a build room. I'm talking about just like concentrating and making a model and enjoying yourself and not caring what other people think about what I'm doing. I just built it and had fun. And I'll always, what's that?
It works.
It is.
I mean, we don't need to go into it now, but it's no secret. It's on the YouTube channel and other channels where I've spoken, but I'm a little bit different. I didn't really do it as a child. I found it probably 4 years after I left the army, just by random. I was just walking around at a store that we have here that's all hobby related, bored. But my life was a fucking mess at that point. You know, I was struggling to be a civilian. I was struggling to just function. Because I'd never done that before.
Right.
And if I hadn't have found this, 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, two things would have happened to me, prison or I'd be dead.
God bless you, Luke. I know we've talked about that. Yeah.
And it's only this that sorted that out. And who would have thought that putting little plastic tanks together and little plastic soldiers was that powerful?
Dude, I remember one time, I've been with my wife a long time and not just married, but like, you know, we dated as young, you know, early 20s. And I remember one time, now my wife can give two shits. She's like, oh, I'm going to, passes out like 8 o'clock. But back in the day, like years ago, she'd be like, you got to make a choice. And I'm like, listen, Deb, I'm telling you right now, you might not win this choice. I'll never up this hobby ever.
Yeah.
Like it's a part of it.
Very similar conversation about 48 hours ago.
I will never give up this hobby. My wife is awesome. My wife is great. The guys know Deb and she's awesome. My wife, she puts up with me, man. She's going to go when it's time and she goes before that pearly gate, St. Pete is going to be like, holy shit, you were married to Rob Riv. You don't have to wait. You put it right in. You know, so, I mean, listen, I can buy what I want, do what I want, whatever. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't care. Have fun. Are you okay? Yeah. She brings coffee down to me. I make a stupid comment. Everybody sees her smack me in the back of the head while I'm building. How many times do I get hit, dude? Do not text my wife. Don't text her. Rat. This guy's a rat over here. God forbid I say so. God forbid I mention anything anything about Steve Santucci. I think there's something going on with these two. If I say one bad thing about Steve Santucci, she's like, what? Her ears will stand up. You're talking bad about Steve?
The teacher's union.
Like, this guy's
a unspoken chapter.
So, yeah. It's a great hobby, and we just got to give back. And that's what the podcast is about for us, is just giving back and having fun. I want people to enjoy themselves. Our build rooms are meant for people to have fun. And yep. when we go to shows, I want to have fun. That's it. Just enjoy ourselves. That's it. That's the name of the game. One day I wish I could meet you guys in person. I got to break your chop in person.
We're going to have to come that way, though, aren't we?
You're going to have to come to the United States. Pick a day. In 2025, Virginia, IPMS Nationals. That's where we're going. East Coast, we're going
to
be going.
Pick a day and Riv will take you out to Tummy Sticks or whatever the hell his pasta, his ramen place is.
Spoon Sticks. Oh, two Tower Spoon Sticks.
Halfway through dinner, what do I order? Two orders of what to
go? Two orders of kimchi fried rice to go, Steve Santucci. Now, doesn't even hesitate. Yep. Place is fantastic. I've never taken anybody to that restaurant who hasn't loved it, so. It's a great place. I want to mention one other thing, though, Luke, too, and this is on a serious note.
Yeah.
What you guys did last year when it came to the fundraiser, you know, we did the 48 and 48 this year, and it was really nice that they had us a part of it and being part of that, which was great. But we were part of it, but not part of it, meaning.
Mm.
I know that we spoke about this already off air, and I know that you're looking to do it again next year, but it might be slightly different. Yeah. You got to try to figure out who you want the donations to go and what the parameters of it would be.
Yeah.
I definitely want to say that we are definitely interested in helping do that, you know, in more way, like whether it's doing something stateside or doing with you at the same time or doing something stateside. Well,
don't you remember, that was Mark Andrews' baby to start with, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Mark approached us at the start of last year and said, could we help? So the only thing we could really do was the sort of online auction format. And that's what we did. And then as soon as we raised whatever we raised, I think it was like £2,600 or whatever it was, that then we send that money to Mark Andrews. So it was Mark Andrews' idea.
Right. The Kids for Kids over the Christmas.
Yeah.
Right, but it's going to be a little different this time. And reasoning.
We'll try and set something up for next year that will be a Black Rifle Model Works.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. So I had talked to Mark, and he had sent me all the information on how he had set it up, like the way you guys did. And then I had talked to Riv, so we were like, let's do this Canada-US too, right?
Yeah.
It just didn't come to fruition, but
it's actually not that. It's not that difficult. I'm gonna try and be careful what I say here. It's not that difficult to set up. So you guys could do something in Canada, you guys could do something in the US at the same time.
Right.
So it's like a collaboration fundraiser almost.
Yeah. Like I'm not fundraising money for Britain. I'm fundraising money for Canada.
Listen, I'm gonna say this, like. I definitely want to be involved.
Yeah. Put something together.
Right. Whether it's me doing what I need to do to get, let's say, people to donate items to auction, or me taking a grand and buying a bunch of shit to auction.
Yeah.
I would do it. Yeah. Especially for Christmas. I'll do it. I would go out. I would take a grand. I would buy a bunch of stuff, find deals, get airbrushes, kits, supplies, maybe ask any people, any sponsors that would be willing to donate, which they will. And I would use that ability to do that and broadcast it and also promote it through the podcast and whatnot. And you raised 2,000 last year, 2,000
2,500 we raised in like 4 hours.
I want to do 5,000.
Yeah. And that's doable. It is doable.
And
I mean, overall, it was about 5,000, wasn't it? Because we had
just over $5,000. But what we raised was 2.5 just through that online auction. So it's definitely doable.
Oh, yeah.
All we need to do is get our heads together and find, like Rob said, you know, there's no point in raising money for a children's hospital in Birmingham.
Right.
Because he lives in Canada, you know. And pick a cause or an organization that we can raise money.
Like, as I was talking to people about this idea, because I kind of did network a little bit about it. That was before the podcast even started. And everybody's like, can you give away paints? Is there insurance problems? Is there fucking, you know, liability issues and shit like that? Like, fuck. You know, you can't even do a good thing for somebody anymore without any sort of consequence.
So the issue here was fucking in the UK that you can't take anything into a clinical environment, which is understandable. I do this shit for a living. So no paint, no glue, no tools, no anything. So that's why in the end Mark settled on the Airfix quick build kits. because they're almost like Lego. Right. You don't need glue, you don't need paint, you don't need any of that, so it can be taken into a clinical setting. But maybe next year, I certainly wouldn't do it for kids next time, because that was Mark's thing. That was Mark's baby. We wouldn't want to steal his thunder in that sense.
And they do, and Skiffins and them do the whole models for those things.
But there's lots of organizations out there.
There's a lot of places that we can think about if we pick.
And a lot of those are transatlantic.
There's lots of great organizations you can donate to. They're all great causes. It's April of 2024. There's some time now. I think that I would like to have more discussion going into the summer. We can talk about this for hours. We'll just say that we want to do it.
Yeah.
And I know I do. And I think that it'll be a fun to do, but I also want to contribute and help out with that.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun doing a live broadcast and have us all and do a lot of stuff too, you know. So
we'll definitely jack something up for next year, definitely.
Yeah. So let's just keep us in mind, all right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, Rob has learned, right? My wife's French, not Kiwi. She's French. She has a knife on her somewhere, and dinner's almost ready.
No, we're gonna be signing off right now. So let's we'll sign off.
I don't want to get stabbed by Frank's wife.
And as you can tell, as a podcast group, we do talk a lot. I feel bad Adam and Stuart didn't jump in a lot with the discussion. Don't be so shy next time, guys. Christ, no, I got to break you guys in, man.
It's a British thing.
Adam is chilling, and he's over reclining back in his gamer chair. He's watching the Liverpool versus Manchester U soccer game over there. What are you watching?
It's called football, Rob.
Oh, yes, football. I'm sorry. Football? Dude, it's great. Oh my god, dude! I listened to that. So football. So Messi plays for Miami, right here in the United States now. And I know a guy whose son loves Lionel Messi, young kid. So like, oh, I'm gonna get tickets. They're playing in Philadelphia on whatever date. So we're gonna go because the tickets here when he plays in New York City is gonna be like $300-$400 a ticket now. Wow. So he goes and gets tickets
to Taylor Swift
for the Philly game or whatever. And to go see this Miami football club play against the Philadelphia team, they get the tickets and they find out that he's probably not going to play because freaking Argentina is playing a freaking friendly game up in Canada. Poor bastard bought tickets to go see Messi's not playing because he's going to be playing for Argentina that day. Oh my God. Soccer. Oh, football. I'm sorry. Football.
Football.
All right. Football. I like football. Well, America.
No, you like the Jets.
Yeah, I was gonna say
like the Jets. Oh, fucking Jets! The Jets are gonna be good this year, though.
They're gonna
win the Super Bowl. The Bills are gonna suck. They're just turning half the team away.
I hope so, because I'm tired of hearing you bitch about them.
Spurs are gonna go to Wembley. Scotland's gonna do it again.
All right, we're gonna start off. Frankie's getting fidgety. He's hungry over there, and Rob Adams is having the munchies right now.
Frank's got the contact high.
On that note, we're gonna sign this off. So, on behalf of the Modeling Insanity Podcast, again, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and YouTube podcasts, as well as other smaller podcast hosting companies, as well as the RSS feed. We want to thank the Black Rifle Model Works guys for listening to us talk for 2 hours about absolutely nothing. But it was fun to do it.
Seinfeld of the podcast.
Right. We did talk about some things, we talked about, you know, shipping costs and things, and maybe about the new upcoming possibly fundraiser in the future. So,
yep.
Again, on behalf of the Modeling Insanity Podcast, I'm Rob Riv with my co-host, Justin Ryan.
Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Steve Santucci.
Enjoy your day.
Mr. Rob Adams.
Good night, everyone.
Frankie Donati.
Thanks for spending some time with us.
A special guest, Luke Carswell.
Thanks for having us. Have a good day.
Adam Challenger.
Thank you very much, guys.
And Stuart Goodwin, right? Did I say it right?
That's right, yeah. And thank you very much. It's been
great. Stu, I appreciate you guys coming here. And we really had a good time. So, again, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
I am really disappointed that none of you guys said chip, chip, cheerio, or whatever you guys stereotypically
say. All right, well, that's the send-off. We'll see you guys later. Frankie. They're still hanging around here thinking there was outtakes at the end after I told them at the beginning there was no outtakes.
Huh? Go home, you guys. Don't you want to go home?
Stan Tucci's not here to make fun of him, so I can't have anything funny to say. But I will say this. Stay tuned for episode 15, our AMPS recap show. It's fantastic. It's funny. It'll be released in a couple of days after this episode drops. So stay tuned for episode 15.
It'll be epic.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Mm. For us.
It'll be good, I think.